Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Thanks for listening to AFR. Today is Wednesday, April the 19th, and we thank you for listening to this program and to American Family Radio. We always try to thank you because we don't take listeners for granted. Good morning, Ed Battagliano.
Hey, good morning, Tim.
We don't take listeners for granted, do we, Ed?
Absolutely do not take our listeners for granted. We just came through Share-a-thon last week, a very successful Share-a-thon, and we frequently say on the air, one of the things we love about Share-a-thon is hearing from our listeners and our supporters, and it helps us because inside a studio like this, it's just us.
Right.
We could just be, you know, three guys talking down at Hardee's or something, you know, over
a biscuit. Highly intelligent guys talking down.
Well, true.
Hardee's.
But you know, we need to know that our listeners are listening and they get active and they want to do something.
Christopher Woodward, good morning, Chris.
Yes, and for our listeners west of the Mississippi, Hardee's is known as Carl's Jr.
Yeah, that's true.
For context.
That's true.
Same company.
Yeah.
What is the expression taken for granted? What does granted mean?
I don't know.
You take something for granted.
Take something for, you just take it as if it's a gift, I guess. Granted would be something like something that's granted is just given. You're just taking it as a given, and you don't really think about it.
Chris, is Ed right?
Yeah, I have the Merriam-Webster Dictionary pulled up here. Taken for granted means to value too lightly, to fail to properly notice or appreciate someone or something that should be valued. We often take our freedom for granted. I'm tired of being taken for granted. Those are examples.
Yeah, so Ed was right.
Well, great way to start.
We all know what it
show.
Means, but I just didn't know what granted meant for.
At 2 o'clock today, we're going to award Ed with an honorary doctorate. There will be cupcakes,
so yeah. I get to be called Dr. Battagliano, like Dr. Jill Biden's called Doctor.
Dr. Jill Biden.
Yeah.
What kind of doctor is she?
Education.
Really? She has an earned degree.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
All right.
So
it's not a piled higher and deeper PhD.
Why is she mocked about that? PhD.
I think because during COVID, didn't people say, well, she's a doctor?
Oh, a medical doctor? Like
Whoopi Goldberg said she should be nominated for Surgeon General because she's a doctor, to which Megyn Cain goes, it's an education.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
I'll share.
So, my apologies to the First Lady. I mean,
she did get her doctorate.
She got her doctorate.
In education.
It's an earned doctorate. I mean, would you, if someone gave you a honorary doctorate, would you use the title?
Oh, wow. That's a tough one. Yeah, probably. Because, I mean, I don't know.
I don't think I would, simply because it opens the door for someone to mock you.
Yeah.
And you know what? I don't need any more open doors into that room.
I don't know. I tell you what, though. I'd like to have to think about that.
All right, folks. So if there's someone out there from a college or a university of a Christian persuasion,
right,
Tim Wildman has done a lot for our country in terms of culture. So if you want to present an honorary doctorate to Tim right. Wildman,
yeah.
Then your dad had.
My dad got an honorary doctorate from Asbury Seminary in Kentucky.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, they were in the news a lot last couple of months because of the revival. There's Asbury University,
yes,
and there's Asbury Seminary is a part of that,
right.
I think. But anyway,
so we'll find out if we can get Tim a doctorate. You know, I would.
I tell you what, I'd really like to have a doctorate in. That's golf.
Well, I'm afraid that's going to have to be an earned.
But I'm never
have to earn degree.
Thus, I'm never going to get there. Thus, I will never arrive.
Well, you just need to put more time in.
That destination. I'll tell Allison, but she doesn't buy that. You know, tell her. You know. I'm ever going to have a chance to play professional golf, you know, my wind is closing.
You got to put time in. And effort.
Yeah, and if you know. All right, Chris, we got a lot to talk about today, don't we, sir?
We do.
Let Ed tell our listeners
okay.
how they can watch and participate in class here, and then we'll get to the top news story.
Yeah, absolutely. Folks, if you want to watch this program, watch a live video stream of this program, you have two choices at this point. YouTube dumped us. We were jilted, okay, by YouTube.
It was hurtful.
It was hurtful. But Facebook, so far, has not dropped us. So you can go to Facebook and search for Facebook Live. Search for Today's Issues. That's the name of this program, of course. Click through, and you can watch the live video stream that we have provided for you. Well, that our listeners have helped us to provide the equipment for. Or you can go to our own streaming service. AFA Streaming is located at streaming.afa.net, streaming.afa.net. And most of our talk radio programs do have a live video stream. I think we have a handful that do not, but those that do, you can watch us do radio. So,
Chris, right, Chris. Go ahead, go ahead.
Well, we begin with sad news out of the state of Maine, where police have identified a gunman who allegedly shot and killed at least four people and wounded at least three others yesterday. The shooter has been identified by police there in Maine as 34-year-old Joseph Eaton. He was arrested last night, and authorities say the shooting began yesterday morning about 30 miles northeast of Portland, Maine. Motive, as of this morning, remained unknown. So I'm going to share a link here in just a second. It's another shooting in these United States of America. And what makes it even worse, guys, Fox has a story out in California this morning. I'll share this link as well. Home Depot worker fatally shot in California trying to stop shoplifting, witnesses say. So we have shootings.
Was that yesterday as well?
Yes. We have shootings under investigation on two sides of the country. And then, of course, there are others still under investigation.
What was the situation in Maine? What was the reason for the shooting? I mean, what happened
there? Yeah, well, we don't know. They it's one of those motive unknown. We're still looking into it. The investigation continues.
But now the shooter went to a house, mm-hmm. shot four people there, and then walked to a highway.
Right.
And started opening fire at random. Three people were injured.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I'm looking right now at a CBS News story. This apparently is breaking. Two suspects have been arrested in the weekend's deadly shooting at the Sweet 16 birthday party in Alabama. We were talking about why it was taking so long. They didn't seem to have any leads, but maybe they did. And so authorities have announced today, just a little while ago, I saw on our television feed for Fox News here in the studio. They were talking about this, so I knew it was a breaking story.
How many died in that birthday party shooting?
Four were killed, but a bunch were wounded. Mm-hmm. It was in the 20s.
Yeah, it got increased to 30 a few
32.
Days
ago. Mm-hmm. It was 32.
Wow, 32 people wounded by.
Yeah. We know so little about this. We don't know whether they were all wounded by gunfire or if they. Sometimes people are trample each other to get away. So hopefully some of these details will
So you're saying now, is this the FBI or is this Alabama authorities?
This is Alabama authorities, I believe. This is a good reason why I don't go to CBS News. Pop-up ads everywhere.
Dadeville, it was Dadeville, Alabama. That's correct. A small community, probably under 5,000.
It is.
The police chief, Jonathan Floyd, is the one who's talking to the media, so I'm guessing it's...
And he says two suspects are in custody?
It says we will charge suspects as adults. I can't hear the audio, so gotcha. Apparently these gotcha. Are gotcha. Underage. These gotcha. Are minors, but they could be 16, 17, somewhere along there. But they will be charged as adults. I'm looking at the information on the bottom of the screen.
One has to wonder, though, and we'll probably learn as more on the Alabama situation at least develops in the news. One has to wonder why the length of time here between the shooting taking place and the arrest being made.
Can I make an observation that I can't prove? Yes, Tim, go right ahead. And I'm being serious about this.
Okay.
I think what's happening with social media, and this has probably been going on for the last 5 to 10 years, is leading to people acting out emotionally and without thinking too much about their actions. again, I can't prove this, but what I'm saying is there's so much bullying. There's so much ugliness and so much meanness on social media platforms today that cause people to get upset and react. And you guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Again, I can't prove this. I'm just saying, why didn't this kind of stuff happen on such a regular basis 20 years ago? I don't recall that it did. I know we had shootings, and you know, you have a country this big, and you're going to have some mentally ill people, and you're going to have some wicked people. But I'm just saying, it seems like this is happening on a regular basis. By regular, I mean at least once a week, where we have mass shootings.
I certainly would accept the social media bullying and some of the negative things that come with social media as maybe a match that ignites the explosion. But there also seems to be something behind that. And I don't want to always just say family breakdown, because there's plenty of broken families where the kids grow up and they wind up being, you know, they don't kill anybody. But they're, listen, we talk about, I would guess that for atheists or people who don't believe in God, they would look at what I'm about to say as being a very convenient explanation. But there is something spiritual happening in our country. There is a darkness that has taken root, and I think that it's demonic. And I think perhaps through social media, perhaps through pornography, maybe because of broken homes and loneliness and those kind of things, the devil is really finding willing participants. Plus, I would say this. Our country is very divided. You go to a lot of European countries. Everyone always talks about the Scandinavian countries. Well, you know what? It's a little bit easier to bring people together when you're all one thing. When you're a country, please don't misinterpret me. I'm going to make this very clear. When you're a country like the United States of America that has got almost innumerable national, racial, ethnic communities, it is very easy for that to fracture, okay? And when you toss into the mix people who try to take advantage of those divisions and heighten tensions, you are going to see the fracturing result in violence.
Yeah.
I mean, I think God wants the United States of America to be, as Ronald Reagan said, a city shining on a hill, as an example of the power of the gospel to bring people from different backgrounds together. But since the country's turned its back on God, there is no way at this point the gospel is not bringing people together. You have our divisions separating us. And you toss in anger and confusion of, you know, economic uncertainty, all those kinds of things, and there that is a recipe for the exact opposite to happen. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. And I think too, you made a point earlier, and we've talked about this often, the breakdown of the family unit is leads a lot of kids to go astray, because now, I'm speaking broadly and generally, but I think, you know, the Bible lays a structure out for the family. Husband, wife leads to children, father, mother. They raise their children. And Christian understanding is in the fear and admonition of the Lord, right?
Right, right.
That's the teaching in the Bible. And this is, I understand this is the model, okay? This is the perfect scenario, but it's not unattainable. I mean, so, but I think a lot of times breakdown of the family happens because of, you know, infidelity, or because of drugs or alcohol, or because of a person is not committed to their marriage or to their children. I mean, there's a number of reasons why this happens, But still, when it does happen on a mass scale like it has in the United States, the fallout is a lot of children and going to be good to be soon to be teenagers who don't have the kind of moral guidance from their fathers and their mothers, because a lot of them don't have dads, quite frankly, right, in the home to help out. And so that's going to inevitably lead to bad results. Again, broadly and generally, like you said, Ed, there are a lot of single parent homes that the kids turn out fine.
Right.
So,
and a lot of intact families
where the kids go astray. Yeah. You can find examples of both.
Right.
But again, I'm speaking the principles in the Bible given to us about a husband and wife for life, mm-hmm, and raising children with a father and the mother in the home. That's the standard we should all promote, I guess I should say.
I found, to go along with just things falling apart there, this was a story from last month, which feels like 5 years ago in this news cycle, but it's from Cincinnati. You had a 22-year-old brother shooting and killing his 21-year-old sister over a video game in Cincinnati. She wanted to watch television. He wanted to play Fortnite. They got into an altercation, and so he shot her several times. I mean, it's just that.
Hey, what do you guys think too about this? You know, in what happened yesterday in California, mm-hmm, a Home Depot employee confronted a man who was stealing, who was shoplifting, and the man who was the shoplifter shot the guy and he killed him. This is why they tell companies tell employees don't interfere with the shoplifter, right?
Yeah, mm-hmm, that's probably the number one reason. And then also the stores don't want to get sued because you're having basically a civilian act like a police officer and restraining somebody. There can be fights breaking out and someone can get hurt, maybe gets an arm broken, and then the store gets sued because they have a untrained. Mm-hmm. So for those two reasons, stores are going, you know what? We're just going to bake into our bottom line the fact that we're going to lose X number of thousands and thousands of dollars and some.
But if you have that going on a massive scale, like you're having in some of these big cities, like Walmart saying we're out of Chicago,
Portland.
Now I don't know about all together, but Portland, Los Angeles, New York, there are a lot of places where these companies, Walgreens, were they the ones who said they were shutting down in San Bay Area?
Yes, yep. And Whole Foods just closed a store in San Francisco that opened last year because of the crime.
These companies can absorb some shoplifting. Right. I'm sure you're right. They do budget that in their prognostications every year, but you can't take the kind of stealing and shoplifting that's going on in these big cities. These companies will just say, okay, we're out of here. You know, we're not going to do this. And it becomes more dangerous.
Right.
A place for people to shop as well. So.
Yeah. And the employees that they don't want to go to work.
Right.
You know,
right.
Am I going to get shot or robbed on the way back to my car after my shift?
Right.
So.
You know, somebody out there is going to say, well, these things wouldn't happen if we took everybody's guns, but criminals are still going to find access to a gun.
Yeah, well, that's stupid.
Yeah, I mean, but that's somebody out there has said it. I'm sure.
Well, here's what's stupid about that, okay? I know you weren't.
Yeah.
I know. But what I'm saying is, with respect to guns in America, have you ever heard the expression, that ship has sailed?
Yeah.
Okay. We have more guns in America than we have people. All right. And you have the Second Amendment, mm-hmm, to the Constitution,
right,
of the United States, which gives people the right to keep and bear arms. You're not going to confiscate the guns in America. So, the liberal Democrats threaten to all the time, mm-hmm, and they always blame guns for the crime, which is silly. Guns don't go out and shoot people. People go out and shoot people. So, I guess it gets tiresome, though not unexpected. You know, every time there's a shooting in America, you know, like what happened in Maine or Alabama or wherever, Biden goes out there and he just has his press release ready,
right, mm-hmm,
to blame guns and, quote, assault weapons.
And then for those who want to point to the Second Amendment in order to keep our legally obtained firearms, they say, well, you don't care. You don't care, you Second Amendment people, you gun nuts. You don't care that people are getting shot. Well, you know what? I have a concealed carry permit. I took the class. I practice. Why should my gun be taken away? Because you have a relatively small percentage of people in this country who are using guns illegally. But they say you just don't care about these people who are being shot.
Well, as we, I have yet to hear an argument that makes any sense to me in response to this. Criminals are going to get guns. Okay, that's the reason they're criminals,
right?
All right, because they know how to get guns and other kinds of weapons. So, if you have a law that, let's say you just, for argument's sake, have a law where you say, okay, we're outlawing guns. Everybody turn them in. Mm-hmm. Let's just say that took place, theoretically. Do you think the criminals, the bad guys, the gangsters, do you think they're going to say, you know what, guys?
Game's up.
Your law was just passed. We're going to have to turn in all our weapons. We're done here.
Right.
No more gang activity for us.
So who would turn their guns in, Tim?
The law-abiding citizens.
Law-abiding citizens.
Right.
Who aren't going to use those weapons to harm people illegally anyway.
Right. Now, I've yet to hear a coherent, logical, rational response to what we just said.
Right.
Yeah. Have you?
No. There isn't one. The only response I've heard that could even be remotely used to answer just said, and I think it's very, very weak argument. The anti-gun nuts will say, well, the reason our gun control laws in Chicago don't work is because the criminals can get the guns from outside of Chicago. Mm-hmm. So their only real response is to demonstrate what they want all along, which is we're going to need to confiscate everyone's guns so that the criminals can't find them.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Which, first of all, it goes to the point of what they're really after. No guns at all. Second Amendment is scrapped. Okay? But it's also naive to think that across that wide open southern border, all the guns you could possibly want would pour across if you're a criminal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just... The arguments of the left make no sense to me at all. They just don't add up at all. Not to mention the Second Amendment.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. But their arguments just don't make any sense to me.
Like
bad guys are going to give up guns because they passed some kind of gun control law.
A corresponding argument from the conservative side would be, okay, every time there's a gun, a shooting at a school or a birthday party or whatever, what we're going to say is, you know what? We told you this violence in movies is causing all this gun violence. You careless Hollywood people. So we're going to eliminate the First Amendment. You're not allowed to produce movies with guns in them because that's the cause. Then you know what Hollywood would say? They would say, you can't blame the First Amendment and you can't restrict freedom of speech simply because some people commit crimes.
Yeah. All right. Well, it's just like, you know, any kind of a shooting here trots out Biden and the Democrats, gun control, gun control, gun control, gun control. And it's like, as I've mentioned, that's not even worthy of a discussion any longer because it's not going to happen in the way that they dream that it will. That is, you take up everybody's guns. It's just not going to happen.
Right.
We're going to be back. And by the way, these celebrities and politicians who push gun control, when they give up their private security detail,
we can talk about it.
Right.
Where they have people walking around them protecting them with
guns.
Right. Then we can talk about it. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on AFR.
Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson, president of Probe Ministries and host of the Point of View radio program. You probably noticed that many young Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why I want to invite your children and grandchildren to attend the Probe Mind Games Camp in Texas. We prepare them for college and their entry into a world that will challenge their faith. This one-week camp includes lectures, role play, along with some great fun. It will take place June 18th to the 24th. Go to probe.org for more information.
And my father, your great-grandfather, fought in World War II.
Really?
He was a gunner on the big ship out in the Pacific Ocean.
Wow.
Your great-grandmother did her part, too.
Was she on a ship?
Oh, no. She stayed back home. She and a lot of her friends worked really hard in a factory because the men had gone off to war.
Ooh.
And they held scrap metal drives to help in the war effort. The folks back home were heroes, too.
Here at the American Family Association, we consider you the heroes back home. As you fulfill your responsibility of caring for your family day to day, your partnership with us is crucial as we fight the enemies of freedom in America. Thank you for your commitment to the American Family Association.
Grandpa, what's a scrap metal drive?
Let's get some cookies, and I'll tell you all about it.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
My goal as a teacher is to impart knowledge and then be able then for them to take it and turn it into wisdom. As we teach, I think, okay, 5 years down the road, how will the material that I am teaching them really affect their lives and their careers?
Hi, Todd Starnes here. Truett offers biblically-centered degree programs. Check out truett.edu/starnes. Loretta Lynn, the coal miner's daughter, says country music is dead. The country music legend mourned the passing of the musical genre during a podcast interview with Martina McBride. It's true that country music has been overrun by woke leftists. I wrote a chapter about the demise of country music in my book, Culture Jihad, How to Stop the Left from Killing a Nation. Country music, at its heart, is a uniquely American musical tradition rooted in heartbreak and hope, faith, and family. But in recent years, cultural progressives have invaded Music City. I write in my book about how the head of the Country Music Association Foundation hated Governor Mike Huckabee. The executive, who's a gay married man, said country music has no place for people like Huckabee, a kind-hearted, church-going lover of music. You know, it's sad to say, but Loretta Lynn is right. Country music is deader than a possum trying to cross a Mississippi highway. I'm Todd Starnes.
One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. Psalm 27:4.
American Family Radio.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of today's issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of today's issues.
Hey, welcome back to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. That's the name of this show, Today's Issues on AFR. I'm Tim with Ed and Chris. We thank you for listening. Before we get back to some of the other news stories that we want to cover, Pastor Charles Stanley, the legendary pastor of First Baptist Church, Atlanta, for I don't know how many decades.
Five.
Wow. He died yesterday.
Died at age 90.
90 years old. Listen. That was his favorite phrase.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
Listen. Yeah. Listen, beloved. I know he said listen. He said listen about, I would count the listens.
You would?
Yeah, I would drink tea. I'd sip out of a glass of tea every time I heard listen from Charles Stanley.
That was your version of a drinking game.
Yeah, yeah. Now, that was a phrase he did use often. But what he was saying was, I want your attention on this because this is a very important point.
Right.
From the scriptures. You said he served First Baptist Church 5 decades?
5 decades. We have a story on our website.
1971.
That I just shared a link for on the Facebook page. Steve Jordahl interviewed Dr. Richard Land yesterday, as well as Pastor Dr. Robert Jeffress there in Dallas. What's interesting is Jeffress told Jordahl, and you can read this in the link I just shared, Jeffress said, when I was thinking about resigning from a church that was filled with problems, a cassette tape by Dr. Stanley about his own experience at First Baptist Atlanta encouraged me to stay in the ministry.
By the way, not all of our listeners are on our Facebook
yes.
page. let them know as speedily as possible where they can find that story and stories like that on American Family News.
Yes, you can find this on our website, which is afn.net. The news stories that you hear at the top of every hour on AFR oftentimes wind up as print articles on our website, which again is afn.net.
Let me ask you this. He was 90 years old. We're talking about Dr. Charles Stanley, who passed away yesterday. Was he still preaching?
I don't think so.
Every Sunday morning when he's still preaching at First Baptist Atlanta?
I could be wrong. I don't think so. I think he had had some failing
health. Retired at age 88 in 2020, according to Steve Jordan.
Okay, I didn't.
So that's just 88. That was just 2 years before he passed away.
He was still running on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
88 years old. Wow. Okay.
Then well, he retired. He used to say, listen, most pastors and preachers have to have some word to kind of get jar the people who, you know, if you can't drone on, you know, and so you got to wake them up. I Charles Stanley would say, listen, I would say, hey, morons, wake up. And that would seem to get everyone, you know, back on track.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll build your church right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It
was a small church.
Calling your parishioners morons. That's.
I'm just kidding.
I'll go with Charles Stanley's listen.
Yes. I'm not even going to look on our Facebook
just
page.
Just joking, people.
People saying you should. Right. It's a sin to call people names.
Moron.
Well, it is.
In your defense, St. John did refer to his people as little children. So you know,
I call myself.
Is that what moron is?
Is it okay to call yourself a moron?
I don't know. I will say this about my lovely daughter. When she was growing up, I always called myself moron. I'd do something wrong. I'd forgot to do this, but you moron. Because I was just remembering how my father, you know, addressed me when I was growing up. You know?
He ever the encourager.
Yes.
Your dad.
And my daughter would say, you shouldn't call yourself a moron. God doesn't like you calling other people names or yourself. And, you know, she's probably right.
Yeah. I can prepare for about 6 to 8 self-condemnations when I go golfing.
Well, I
because
think for
I,
guys
I, I hit a shot and I go, you're an idiot.
Are guys, especially, we do remember. My dad didn't call me a moron. I'm just kidding.
I know.
But guys, especially, our dads did constantly tell us.
Oh, yeah.
You have to have accountability. You got to take responsibility for your actions. And so we grow up critiquing ourselves.
Yeah.
And so that can spill over into golf.
Yeah. I hit a shot and called myself an idiot. But I deserve it.
Yeah. Sometimes.
And when you in golf, probably like tennis, maybe, or some other individual sport, there's nobody to blame.
You can't blame
your teammate.
You can't blame the offensive line.
There's no wide receiver out there dropping the ball. Either you hit the shot good or you don't.
That's right.
My dad, you're right about fathers and sons. My dad, he didn't call me an idiot or a moron, but he would say things like, Tim, that was just dumb.
Yeah.
He didn't personalize it. He was saying whatever.
The action was not
smart.
Right.
Use your head. Okay.
My mom would say, use your head for something other than a hat rack.
Right.
For a long time, I didn't understand that. But then as you grow up and you learn about hat racks.
I hope I can get this joke right. There's the football coach. He had a player out there on the field and player wasn't making the play. He's supposed to be in the different place, and he yelled out at the player. He said, "You know, use your head for something other than a hat rack or you know, a helmet, a helmet rack." So the player, yeah, okay, coach. You know, then the player does something else, and he goes, "But coach, I was trying to think. I was trying. You know, I made a mistake because I was overthinking." And he goes, "Don't think, react."
So, which actually in sports would be.
I know. Yeah. So one minute you're telling me to stop and think about what I'm doing.
Right.
And the next minute you're telling me don't think.
Yes.
Just react. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Next story, Chris.
Well, I have a soundbite here that I think resulted in many Americans yesterday throwing out some name calling for the director of the ATF. His name is Stephen Dettelbach. And he was at a hearing that featured...
What's the ATF, Chris?
That's the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. They don't have the E on there yet for some reason.
How do you get ATF out of that?
It started out as the ATF.
They dropped a couple letters.
Yeah, it's a silent partner.
I know what it is. Alcohol, tobacco, firearm. It's a federal agency that oversees those things.
Correct.
Okay.
And you would think that somebody that heads up an agency that oversees firearms would be able to answer simple questions about things involving
like firearms.
Stephen Dettelbach, the head of the ATF, was at a hearing, and Congressman Jake Elzey did not like his lack of answers on things like firearms and so-called assault weapons. Clip 5.
As a gun owner of many different types and a 20-year military veteran, I have some expertise in weaponry and self-defense weapons. What could you, in 15 seconds, would you define an assault weapon for me?
If you go past
15 seconds, I'll just interrupt you.
So I'll go shorter than that because I honestly do think that's a – if Congress wishes to take that up, I think Congress would have to do the work. But we would be there to provide technical assistance. Unlike you, I'm not a firearms expert to the same extent as you may be, but we have people at ATF who can talk about velocity of firearms, what damage different kinds of firearms cause, so that whatever determination you chose to make would be an informed one.
Okay, that was the ATF director appointed by Biden responding to a United States congressman.
Yeah, so he's the head of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, but doesn't know enough about firearms to define what an assault weapon is. I hope he at least has some experience with tobacco and alcohol. Otherwise, why has he got a job there? Well, why is he the director?
Well, I'll answer that question for you. Is that rhetorical? Is that editorial?
The
reason he got that job is because he's a left-wing activist. That's all Biden puts into place as a position. They don't have to have qualifications. They really don't. They just need to be. Their qualifications are either check some sort of box or boxes, or they are a left-wing ideologue. And when he says, listen, when he says he doesn't have to be. He's not a firearms expert, and then he says, to the degree you are, talking to the congressman. Why is this important? Because all Biden and the Democrats keep talking about is we need to ban assault weapons. And so this congressman says, what is an assault weapon? What are you talking about? And he can't even tell you.
He doesn't want to answer the question. That's why he didn't answer it.
Okay.
I'm not going to call the man a liar. Again, we're talking about ATF director.
Or a moron.
Steve Dettelbach. No, that'd be wrong for me to call him a moron. But he can't answer the question. He can't answer it because there is no agreed upon definition of assault rifle except for a weapon that has a switch to flip between semi-automatic and automatic, which are we used to call machine guns. That's probably not technically accurate, but those have been severely restricted, the ownership of those, since 1934. We're talking about way back in the Al Capone days. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're not allowed to own a Tommy gun. All right, so what they call a quote unquote military grade assault rifle is a weapon that allows you to switch to fully automatic, and I would throw in probably a high-capacity magazine, all right? But those aren't the weapons that are being used. I don't know any of these mass shootings that have involved automatic weapons, fully automatic weapons. I could be wrong about that. Aren't they, for the most part, semi-automatic? And once you say, no, we're going to ban semi-automatic weapons, then you're talking about hunting rifles, too.
Yeah, and if you really want to get it down to a common man's understanding, when you say assault weapons, I'm thinking any weapon can be an assault weapon.
It's true. Huh? That's true.
A knife?
I wouldn't want to get shot by a .30-06.
A car?
That'd make a mess.
Any kind of gun can be used as an assault weapon if one so chooses.
Right.
It doesn't have to be.
But they can't. That's why Director Dettelbach did not want to answer the question, because then Congressman Elsie of Texas would begin to narrow the field of conversation and say, so other semi-automatic weapons should be banned too?
Yeah.
Hunting rifles, deer rifles? No, not those. Okay, then why the AR-15?
Back to what we were talking about last half hour, and just to reiterate a point here, or to make a point, I think, too, one of the main reasons why Democrats and the liberals don't want to discuss anything relative to crime, or especially violent crime, other than the gun itself, is because they don't want to get into the discussion of the why these things are happening in society. And related to that is they certainly don't want to talk about personal responsibility for your actions. Mm-hmm. So if they can just focus on the guns, we don't have to talk about societal breakdowns. We don't have to talk about 75% of black children don't have dads in the homes, right? And what that leads to. And whites, there's a growing number of whites and Hispanics too, sadly, that it's not near what it is in the African-American community. I'm talking about fatherlessness. But so you don't talk about our personal responsibility for their actions. You don't have to talk about that. You just talk about the guns. The guns went out, shot people. We need to ban the guns. Well, sir, I would ask Mr. Biden, if you could have an intelligent conversation, what do you think led to that person going out and committing that act of violence?
Right.
Now they would probably come up with something like, I would just like to start with that conversation.
Yeah.
We could have that conversation.
Well, I was just looking up. You remember back I think it was 2021 or 2020, Ahmaud Arbery. Remember, he was just out jogging
in Georgia.
And these three white guys chased him down. They shot him. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well,
were convicted of murder.
And they were convicted. Yeah. I would say those guys had evil intents in their hearts. The guns didn't do it. The guns were legally owned, but it was the motivations of those guys who shot Ahmaud Arbery, and they were convicted. That's a conversation we should have. About why people do what they do.
But the only time motives matter, only time gun control matters, if you can find a white supremacist motivation,
then it's
that person and white supremacy that motivated him to do it.
Right.
Like in Buffalo, where that guy went in and killed those folks at that
supermarket,
yeah. Mostly black people, and he was motivated by racist views.
Or the church in Atlanta, members.
No, South Carolina a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
They got rid of the Confederate
flag. But I'm just saying,
because of that.
Then they want to talk about the motivation.
That's true.
But it's only then that they want to talk about what the motive is for the person doing what they did. All right, next story, Chris.
Well, let's keep it with nominees from...
One other thing, Chris.
Yes.
Excuse me for interrupting. Now, if police happen to shoot somebody, it wasn't the gun's fault. Then it's the individual who pulled the gun out and shot it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
But if it's criminal, it's not their fault. It's the gun's fault. You see how?
Yeah.
See how this works?
Right. Or if it's a criminal in the inner city shooting a bodega owner or someone else,
right.
Then it's because they're economically disadvantaged.
Mm-hmm. Then it's excuse making.
Right.
Yeah.
To your point, if we really wanted to have a national conversation.
Right.
About guns and crime and the breakdown of the family, everybody would have to surrender their ideological corner they're in and have an actual conversation, but that doesn't pay the bills.
Right. Next story, Chris.
Keeping it with Biden nominees here, Education Secretary Miguel Cardona refused to define woman during a House hearing, a separate House hearing. Cardona was speaking to Representative Andrew Clyde, a Republican from Georgia, clip 3.
So can you please tell me, or can you please define for me, what is a woman?
Our focus at the department is to provide equal access to students, including students who are LGBTQ, access free from discrimination.
Okay, well, is that, so what's the def- What's the definition of a woman? You haven't given me that. You haven't answered my question.
I think that's almost secondary to the important role that I have as Secretary of Education.
My question is not secondary. My question is very simple. What is the what does HHS say the definition of a woman is?
I lead the Department of Education, and my job is to make sure that all students have access to public education, which includes co-curricular activities. And I think you highlighted pretty well the importance of Title IX and giving students equal access, whether it's scholarship and facilities.
Okay, so you're not going to answer my question.
Well.
The head of the Education Department.
No, he's not going to answer.
Or would not.
What's this person's name?
Miguel Cardona is the
Secretary of Education.
He has a PhD like Joe Biden. I'm not kidding.
No, listen, he can't answer the question. The question's about Title IX, which addresses discrimination on the basis of sex and protects women in education and the sporting experience inside the context of education, whether that's lower grades or higher education. And so it is a legitimate question to say, what does the law mean by woman? And they don't want to answer the question because, as I said yesterday, and as I said in my Sunday school class, when I did not bring the issue up, but it was brought up by my dear students, adults all, okay, because I talk about these issues enough during the week. I sure don't like to talk about them over the weekend. But I said, you cannot define male or female without biology. And so I said this yesterday. I say it today to our listeners. You can't refer to biology, okay, by that I mean reproductive organs, okay, so define what a man is without using that. You can't do it. And that's why Miguel
Cardona
could refuse to define woman because he does not want to go to the issue of biology.
Right. The left is at war with women, really.
Yeah.
Real women, and they're not defending real women. They're siding for men who claim that they're women or boys who claim they're girls. Speaking of which,
yes,
brings us to the next point. I want people to listen to this. I came across this clip last night on, I think it was Twitter, somebody sent it. Governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, potentially a Republican candidate for president. I think most people feel like he's going to announce sometime in May after the Florida legislature concludes their session. But he was doing an interview the last few days.
With Benny Johnson, conservative news personality.
Okay. And he was asked about this question. And contrast what he's about, what you're about to hear by Governor DeSantis, with what this Secretary of Education said for Biden. Let's hear this clip.
Asking about the greater issue of transgenderism, Dylan Mulvaney, of course, is what kicked all this off. What do you think about men taking the role of women and taking really women's places in advertising, in sports, playing against them? And this seems like an existential threat to women.
And a total fraud.
As fathers of daughters.
You have a swimmer that competes on the men's team for 3 years at Penn and then switches to the women's team and then wins the 500-yard freestyle national championship for women when you're a mediocre male swimmer and now you win the women's. And so you had a second place finisher. She was actually from Sarasota. She should have been the national champion. I did a proclamation from our office saying she was the best woman swimmer in 500 yard because she was. And so some of this is, yes, it's taking away opportunities in athletics and some other stuff. And that's really, really important. But I think there's also just the issue of, are we going to be a society based on truth? Or are we going to be a society based on deceit? And if you take a man and they dress up as a woman and you tell me I have to accept that they're a woman, then you're asking me to be complicit in a lie. And I just refuse to do that. So we've got to tell the truth. I think, you know, the truth will set you free. And let's just be honest about what's going on here. That swimmer was not the best women's 500-yard champion. Okay, the number two one was the best women. So that's just the bottom line. But, you know, I've got 6-year-old daughter, 5-year-old son, 3-year-old daughter. The 3-year-old just started T-ball. She's whacking
really?
Ball. Yeah. They're good athletes. They like to do different things. So you want to have opportunities. And we got on this very early in Florida.
I think he means 500 meters. He kept saying 500 yards, but I think the governor's talking about 500 meters. The race he was talking about, that's a tiny, tiny little detail there. Well, what was refreshing to me was hear somebody say of Governor DeSantis' stature to not stutter and stammer and go, listen, how do I answer this where I don't, incur the wrath of the LGBT crowd and the media elites and so forth. He just said it like it was, and I think that's the majority of opinion of most Americans. It's not an opinion. It is. He's talking about biological fact, right?
Yeah, and I would say this. I think the majority, the vast majority of people, if you ask the questions in a way that was not leading,
right?
Okay, most people would say this. I have compassion on people who are so confused about their gender, okay, that they want to be different than their biological body. I have not experienced that. I have compassion on people who are suffering with that. Number two, I don't want transgendered people or gender fluid people or whatever definition they use. I don't want them beaten in the hallways of their schools or shoved into lockers. Right. I don't want them to be mistreated. But, all right, a trans woman, in other words, a biological male who claims to be a woman, is not a woman. That man, young or old, but that young man cannot have children, cannot get pregnant, okay, does not need to have feminine products in his bathroom or provided by his school. That young man should not be taking opportunities away from girls his own age in education or in sports. And it is dangerous to women to allow men, whether they're trans or not, into women's areas. Like we talk about Riley Gaines. Okay. She, this Leah Thomas, his real name is Will Thomas. He wound up in the changing area with the other women swimmers. She said, I did not feel safe. So I think the vast majority of people would fall into that category represented by those statements I made. And
what do you think about Governor DeSantis saying a guy who dresses up like a woman and you're going to force me to call her a woman, I'm complicit in a lie?
It's true. I mean, that's what he's saying is a true statement. It is a lie. It's the same way with a male or a female, but usually it's women with eating disorders. A young woman who thinks she's fat, who has anorexia or bulimia, and honestly believes in her mind that she's fat, and that leads to an eating disorder, okay, it is not helpful to her. It is not the truth to say you are fat. I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing, because in your mind you're fat. I'm with you. That's not true.
Right. Right.
I do want to point out a couple of things.
You pointed out, Chris.
We do have a petition. AFA does have a petition that you can sign and show your support for Riley Gaines. We will at some point, to be determined, deliver those signatures to her. But also, we had some people listening saying, I hear clicks in the video. That was part of the video and the editing process for reasons I'll never understand. But that wasn't us just clicking around.
You mean the audio of Governor DeSantis?
Yes.
Okay.
It was part of the video. When you go back and watch it, there's a lot of editing and pictures and stuff popping up.
Might be people snapping pictures.
It was not me clicking around while I was rolling on the audio, which
right.
has been
it
happening.
It had nothing to do with
program.
My popcorn either, because when I eat popcorn here, I press the mute button. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So that it's silence on my part. You never know I'm eating popcorn unless you're watching on the video.
And those folks know. If you don't get popcorn,
yeah,
they ask.
Something
wrong? Yeah. What's wrong with Tim? All
right. We're going to take a short time out right here, Chris. I want to thank you for your contributions this last hour.
From the bottom of our hearts.
I'll be here all week. Keep your waiters.
Steve Paisley Jordahl.
That's just a permanent name now.
Yeah. I've tagged him that. He'll be coming up after this short time out for news.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.